I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Five, I might get down now. Yeah, okay. Right, are we ready, cousins from different dozens?
You doing that with your mouth?
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
That was really good. It sounded like the cricket music.
Yeah.
That music is better than cricket.
Shut up.
It is.
Oh, you wouldn't say that if Fish was here.
I would.
Five will make you get down, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Egypt march on in the AFCON and Frankie Lampard is a toffee. It's Monday, 31st of January. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Happy Monday, everybody. It's good to have you with us, Petey, Jimmy and me, to talk about all things football. Mm. Are you raring to go, PED?
I'm ready to go. I've had a lovely weekend of watching as much football as I can.
Yes.
With the limited opportunities, the Premier League not being on, of course.
How much football was that? Can you tell us? How in minutes?
A couple of matches.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, there were four AFCON quarterfinals.
Yeah.
There were, Jim.
There was plenty.
You said that as if I had been suggesting there hadn't been.
Yeah, well, you know, you seem to imply, like, how much football is that exactly?
Trying to
have
Peter O'Hanra Hanran, really.
Trying to catch him out.
Well, the AFCON is where we start.
It is.
Indeed.
And the big one was Egypt versus Morocco. It ended 2-1 to Egypt. Mo Salah at the centre of it all, of course. They're through And it was a good victory for them, because I fancied Morocco at the start of the tournament.
And at the start of the game.
At the start of the game, Jimmy. Well, I did. After 6 minutes, Bouffal obviously tucked away the penalty. And I thought, Egypt, you know, they've flattered to deceive a little bit in this tournament. And I just fancied Morocco to kind of really go for it. But it turned out that it wasn't the case that that the Moroccans were going to win the tournament. I was wrong again. But Salah, though, lovely setup, lovely goal. Well, I mean, it was a tap-in. But once again, Jim...
You've got to be there, haven't you?
You do. Yeah. They're not a one-man team, let's be absolutely clear about that. But they do have possibly the best player in the world in their team.
And he is their best player. And he stands out. And he was fantastic. Egypt, they've taken a little while to get going, really. They've been very, very conservative, as you would expect under Carlos Queiroz. But they kind of dug in when it mattered there. And I think like they actually remind me a little bit of how England approached the Euros. It's very, very conservative, and they're not really kind of going all out gung-ho, trying to just attack. But generally, games between Egypt and Morocco have been very, very low scoring and quite tight attritional affairs. And this was similar, really.
It was.
A lot of, a lot of needle.
Yes.
A lot of needle. There we like.
Well, we saw we saw Hakimi's shorts being pulled down.
You love to see it. You love to see it. And I felt sorry for Hakimi because he kind of created the penalty with a lovely run. And he sort of dragged his team through the tournament, certainly the free kick in the last round, the crazy free kick that went in against, was it Gabon? I can't remember. Either way, they got through thanks to that free kick. But yeah, it was a shame, really. And we got to see his bum. So
yeah. Do you feel that was
an athletic bum is a rare treat?
It's a beautiful thing. And if you ever go on, I guess I'd just call it gay Twitter, gay football Twitter, is a lot of beautiful Twitter accounts where it's just like talking about men's bums.
Is that right?
It's fascinating.
Speaking as a man who doesn't have an arse.
Oh, it's real kind of like I'm going shopping for bums.
Okay, that's what I wondered.
I don't have a bum.
Well, go on then.
If you could get an implant, could you not?
I guess I could, but it would look funny if I got a massive one.
Hmm. I mean, you had your sweatband
Brazilian bum
off, why not get a bum put in?
I was about to say,
Brazilian bum lifts.
I think we can talk him into this.
Yeah. If it involves spending money, I'll do it.
What would you go for?
I'd probably go for... what do you mean? Whose bum would I go for?
I mean, you could name someone if you want, but I was thinking that. So I think
different kinds of bums. Is it different kind of bums?
I don't know. You would
I just like a normal man's bum. That's a nice normal man's bum.
Would you go for a big one? Would it be more perfect?
I'd want comfort over form.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So a proper cushion kind
proper
of back
cushion,
there.
Like
a memory foam bum.
Yeah, exactly. When are we going to get those mattress adverts?
I don't know, but I think we've just tapped into something there.
Yeah.
Can we patent that before the show's out?
Yeah.
Before someone steals that idea, which no doubt they will try and do.
Speaking of butts, though, I never get on board with the French word for goal because it comes up on the screens. When
I noticed that as well.
And I sort of go, and it comes on the screen because obviously it's in Senegal, but like I just sort of go.
Cameroon.
Cameroon. It's not meaty enough.
Yes.
A word. Add another U in there, France.
Don't
come on, I've
word,
never like.
Don't use the word meat.
I want to meet your boot. I want to meet your boot.
I did see that, but it's just with one T.
But it just says boot.
I thought VAR call. No penalty, but. What's about happening?
But I've never liked that word. I don't think it really sums up the joy of goal is meaty and juicy and.
Yes.
Oh, I'm horny this morning.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's funny, isn't it? Because either side of them, they've got the English goal, they've got the Spanish goal.
Yeah.
Like, there you are. What, you know, you could have... You've ruined it.
Yeah.
You've,
like a little...
It makes you think of Dad's boot.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. I don't know.
Could do, Jim. But yes, back to the... I want to talk about that save Egypt's keeper, Mohamed Abu Ghabal, made, which he sort of pushed onto the bar. When that goes, I forget who's on commentary.
Mm.
They just said, I thought that was a goal.
Yeah.
Like when the ball comes in, you see the header is about, the connection is made, and it was a stunning save.
Brilliant.
He was standing in for their number one, who was out, and then he had to go off. Injured, and so the number three had to play extra time. I love that. He's a third choice keeper. I mean, obviously, he's a professional, he's always ready, gloves on, and all that. But you don't really think, right, you're going to go in. It's pretty pressurized situation.
Yeah.
Extra time against Morocco.
Although, actually, because of the COVID situation, maybe more than usual, the reserve goalkeepers will expect to play a little bit more, be
true
a bit
enough
more on your toes. Because you can, there's being professional and there's being realistic, right?
Yeah.
A third choice goalkeeper at most tournaments, however much you might try and prepare, you don't really expect to play.
Yeah,
but
no, you're just
maybe that extra
just
little.
Eating loads of ketchup.
Yeah, exactly.
Eating loads of junk food. Yeah, lads, what's going on? Yeah, I've got to go for a sleep.
Pepe Reina's going, yeah, I know.
Best just, job of the world.
Yeah, where's Pepe? You've got to come on. He's up there with pom-poms leading the charm from the boys, you know. indeed. But Egypt will face Cameroon in the semi-final. Big.
Yeah,
it doesn't actually come any bigger than that. The two, I believe Egypt are the most successful side in the history of
Cameroon,
of the tournament. Cameroon, the host. And I think, off the top of my head, they might be the second most successful side. They're certainly one of the most successful side, Cameroon. And as you say, they're the host. They beat Gambia, 2-0. I mean, Gambia, wonderful tournament. Mm-hmm. But when you're playing the host, who are, you're a better side.
And they've been scoring goals, which, you know, not every team can say. Cameroon have been very, very, very good.
That's right, yeah. Cameroon, though, they know Egypt well. They've faced each other a couple of times in recent memory in the final. Of course, it was the 2017 final. Egypt haven't won the tournament since 2010, and people might think, well, it's not that bad. We're only in 2022 now. But, of course, that was off the back of three wins and a very successful time. Mo Salah came into the side a year after that, so he's yet to win the African Cup of Nations, you know. So that the massive game, that one. We very much look forward to it. In the other semi, it will be Senegal versus Burkina Faso. Of course, Senegal beat Equatorial Guinea 3-1. Good run for Equatorial Guinea. But again, coming up against Senegal, who showed a bit of quality. And they dealt with this game sort of fairly early on, didn't they?
They did. And also, I mean, Senegal have taken a while to get going.
Yeah.
And they... I mean, obviously, this is a mismatch. Senegal are ranked 20th in the world. They're the highest ranked team there. And Equatorial Guinea are ranked 114th. They've done amazing to be there.
That is incredible,
isn't it? Huge achievement. But Senegal, they've huffed and puffed and really struggled to find their form. And
well, they're the hosts, Jim. It sometimes happens with the hosts.
Yeah, well, they're the hosts.
Yeah, the hosts.
Everything's happening in a different country.
Yeah.
They don't understand
who could have foreseen
what's
that?
Going on.
I mean, like I wouldn't put it past CAF to do that, to be honest. Really fuck it up.
It's Senegal needed a performance like this.
Yeah.
They were very good. I mean, again, the playing field is a bit of a strange one, but they've just been a bit boring, to be honest. But they were really good.
I could watch that Sar goal again and again at the back end of that match. Just the control, taking that ball down and just putting it on a plate for Sar. Wow.
Yeah, lovely. Lovely.
Wowzers.
Wowzers indeed. And Burkina Faso, they beat Tunisia 1-0. Burkina Faso, they reached the final, was it in 2013? You know, certainly in recent memory. You know, they're a side that have never made a World Cup. Therefore, the wider world, us, you know, we don't really know too much about them. But they've got a bit of quality, and they're there. So it's a strong semi-final lineup. I think it is the fourth time they've reached the semis in, you know, and as I say, three of them in the last 9 years. Actually,
yeah. They're going to be without Dr. Elbows, aren't they?
Dr. Elbows. Who's that then? Talk us through Dr. Elbows.
Dango Ouattara. He scored a goal and then elbowed someone in the face. And he can have no complaints because it was a nasty elbow.
Yeah, a shame for him.
Hell of a day.
Presumably he'll miss that semi-final. So there we are. But moments before the press conference for this game, someone went up to the front, took the microphone and cables, and ran away.
Mm. I love an XLR cable microphone football story.
Just like, I don't want to hear anything you lot have got to say. officials chased him, but they weren't able to catch him. And reportedly, CAF had rented the equipment from the man and hadn't paid him.
The scene is so typically CAF.
Yes.
I love that, like, they chased him.
Yeah,
it's his stuff.
Like, did they chase him to give him the money?
But I am going to assume they didn't do that.
Well, it's probably didn't know it was his stuff, I suppose.
Maybe didn't make it clear.
I'm the owner of this equipment and I'm taking it back.
Home. I don't know if you're bloody not.
I don't know if he proclaimed that as he sort of swiped it.
Well, do you remember like a couple of years ago in the CAF Champions League, the two teams were playing and there was a contentious decision. All the players kind of swamped the referee and demanded him to use the screen and do VAR, and the referee had to sheepishly admit that, it's not working, VAR's not working. And it's not been working all match. And,
oh, God.
And that, you know, we've talked about CAF's limitations in this tournament and they really do get the basics wrong, and there's a lot of fingers being pointed on a completely serious tack.
Yes.
About the deaths outside the stadium. Look, there needs to be something done.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely right. Well, yeah. They've got two semi-finals to try and get the organisation right and so on and so forth. And, I mean, even on the pitch...
Wouldn't hold me breath.
No, yeah. Well, on the pitch, we mentioned it's not been sort of roses. And the refereeing decisions have been quite interesting with a lot of sendings off. And
it's been very, very over the top, hasn't it?
Yeah, and here's a segue for you, Jim. You know... talking of red cards and controversial sendings off, What about the Israeli Premier League the other day? Did anybody see that?
Well, you know me, I'm a real... I've been watching football on the weekend.
How much football did you watch? Hapoel Beersheva and former Celtic man Hatem Abd El Hamid was sent off after the game by the referee, because he shook his hand too firmly.
There's so much going on there.
Yeah.
What a microcosmic psychodrama that is. Because it is annoying when someone shakes your hand too vigorously. Weirdly, it sort of
we are very wet boys.
But
I resent the use of handshakes to assert dominance and authority.
Maybe the referee's had enough. It's like, this is toxic masculinity. This is 2022. I'm not having it anymore.
Good on him.
Apparently, the club CEO was next to him and confirmed that the referee had said that the handshake had hurt him.
Yeah.
El Hamid said, "I did not use extraordinary force. This is my handshake.
This is my handshake."
Yes.
I mean,
this is it's my threatening handshake, but it is my handshake.
Maybe try one of those like special Masonic ones, like this kind of. You put your wiggle your finger around or something.
Maybe that's why he tried to know. Okay, can you just order the result? That's not what happened. We're joking, sod off. Right, let's go to CONCACAF. Canada 2, USA 0.
Come on.
Whoa! This is happening.
It's happening.
The country that Luke often calls America's hat has done his boys a
good says it and then tells people he said it.
Yeah.
Every podcast.
The first competitive midwinter fixture in Canada since 1985. And they qualified for the 1986 World Cup. They've thought to themselves, hang about. We're a superstitious bunch in football. Maybe that's a good omen. Well, yeah, they're still unbeaten, top of the group. And if things go their way, I think they can qualify this Wednesday.
Yes, they play...
El Salvador, maybe they've
I think
thought.
It is El Salvador. Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I mean, just an incredible performance, and the USA just had nothing to in reply, really.
But I tell you what, though, that John Herdman, he's from near in your neck of the woods, County Durham in the northeast of England, could be the other English manager of the World Cup this year. he talks about this team. They want to really put football sort of on the map in Canada.
On the hat.
We want to have a football up there. You know, they want people to be interested. We've seen what's happened in the US in sort of recent decades, I suppose.
And the Canadian women's team obviously won the Olympics last
year. Absolutely right. Yeah, it all bodes very well.
Alphonso Davies and Jonathan David as well. They've got some decent players in there.
But Alphonso's not been involved in the recent games.
There you go.
And they're still winning, Jim.
Exactly. You know? And it's a crop of players that are maybe going to go and do something.
And you love to see the Canadian keeper, Milan Borjan.
What a save.
Wearing... Did some amazing saves in that match, wearing what can only be described as lovely grey wank pants. Very, very enjoyable grey joggers. Proper wank pants.
Gabor Kirai-esque, the Hungarian
yes,
goalkeeper.
Yeah, maybe. Just the grey, really, you really notice stains on grey joggers. You really do.
Yeah. Do you remember Karai, the famous grey jogger?
I do, yeah.
Do you know they sold them?
I'm trying really hard to think about him.
Yes.
Instead of everything else that's happening in this conversation.
What's he doing?
Pete starts talking
just
about
adjusting. Is he adjusting?
He's tasted by accident.
What have we done, everybody? Are we ready to talk about the championship the EFL? Because Derby County drawing 2-2 with Birmingham City. What a comeback that was.
Yeah.
And what a goal as well from Christian Bielik. A 95th minute equaliser.
Really hurt, really put his body on the line. He was in agony in these celebrations. He was like, my shoulder! I fucked it.
It was worth it, though, surely.
Having the keeper in attendance to
score an overhead kick.
Yeah, definitely. And the keeper was like, came up for the head or whatever, and he was just right in front of him. So he was there to celebrate with him. I love to see it.
It's funny, though, when a player
gets
injured.
Loving the Derby story.
Like, if you get injured but you score, they tend to focus on the injury.
Yeah.
It's kind of like... do sort of half and half, I think.
Because
like the keeper was almost trying to tell him, no, it's a goal. Like, you've done it. Can you not hear the crowd? He's like,
I put my shoulder.
Yeah. Well,
that's going to be in the season highlight package, isn't it? In agony, trying to pull himself through, doing a bicycle kick, putting his body on the line.
This is a metaphor for our season. Tell you what, though, like the scenes, again, all the positivity, all the kind of the momentum that they have, and results like that, performances like that, you really, really wouldn't put it past them surviving.
Well,
there's a long way to go.
As we've said before, if you add the points back, they'd be near mid-table. So it shouldn't be surprising that they keep getting wins. What is exceptional is obviously this squad was very threadbare and kind of thrown together. Rooney is doing a really, really good job there.
He is.
It's, I mean, do you hear what Neil Warnock said this week?
Go on.
He essentially said Rooney will never have an easier job because there's no expectation, and that means there's less pressure and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Maybe he enjoyed that kind of thing when he was a manager. Yeah.
But the way Warnock was at pains to say, oh, I'm not criticising, I'm not
easy
trying to
is not the right word, but I get what he's saying. Yeah. You know, yeah, I mean, there is no pressure on him because if Derby just completely flopped and finished bottom of the league, he's saying, like, everyone will go, yeah, well, obviously.
What else do you expect, yeah.
But 7 points from safety? I mean, Reading have lost the last five. They're dropping like a stone. Peterborough have lost four of the last five, whereas Derby have picked up a few wins of late.
It's difficult, though, isn't it? Because this being the Championship, there's only 103 games
that's
left
right.
to go. So.
That's right, yeah. Plenty of twists and turns. They'll end up getting like sixth spot and going up or something. But it's like they win the last three games and they're in the playoffs. But yes, over 32,000 inside Pride Park, their biggest league attendance.
That's been really impressive as well, isn't it? It's inspiring, really, to see how the Derby fans are actually coming together in so many situations where a club gets into a crisis like this. It becomes terminal, doesn't it? And there's just so much negativity around it that everyone's just really, really down. But Derby have been the opposite of that. They've been really, really getting behind the team. And I think Wayne Rooney turning down Everton to stay has galvanised them even more as well. It's really impressive stuff, and good luck to them.
Well, it shows you. I mean, such a huge name in football, Wayne Rooney. We can often forget that, of course. But Rooney, he could have jumped ship, he wasn't offered the Everton job, but he could have sort of gone for it. He's like, no, I'm here to stay. And that quote, he said, I believe I'll be a Premier League manager one day, and I'm 100% ready for that, but I've got a job to do here. And that's quite admirable, as you say, because the best he can hope for is you just survive. But of course, if they do survive, and providing they are still playing bloody football by the end of the season, which is why they're marching, the fans, and they're trying to galvanise the team, it will be a phenomenal achievement. And actually, he knows as well that if he stays in that job and helps them survive, he'll never have to buy a drink ever again in Derby. No. Do you know what I mean? And I think that there's not much of that left in football. Someone says, no, I'm here to do a job. I'm committed to this. And it's very important. And I think he just gets the situation.
Yeah. I mean, the circumstances of it, when you say just take a step back from it, are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
He went there as a player, just kind of just keep playing, have a bit of a, not quite a swan song, but just to keep his career going for a bit. Kind of ended up the manager by accident. Mm-hmm. And here he is just like getting stuck in as if he'd expected this challenge. It's unreal. It's brilliant from him.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely right. Elsewhere, Billy Sharp became the all-time Championship record goal scorer. With his 122nd goal, which is a hell of an achievement, because if you think about it, if you're scoring a lot of goals in the Championship, well, presumably you'd then move up to the Premier League, so you're not going to be around in the Championship long enough. But he's had a remarkable career, Sharp, and of course he has played Premier League football. But yes, he leapfrogs David Nugent, who previously held the record with 121 goals. So yeah, I think Mitrovic is probably like five behind us, and he scored them all this season. He netted again, but Fulham, they could only draw 1-1 with Blackpool at home, which was quite surprising.
Blackpool got your number, mate.
Clearly.
They had a lot of chances, though, Fulham, didn't they?
They should have won the game. But very sad news, though. The game was halted for quite a bit. The Fulham supporter, Paul Parrish, rushed to hospital and died later, suffering from a cardiac arrest. Which is awful to see.
It sort of makes you think, like, did this sort of thing happen like kind of back in the day? Because we didn't see a lot of stoppages. I presume these things happened all the time, like back in the day. Are people just taking this more seriously? Are they getting the medical staff from clubs to get involved? I presume that's why. It's a good thing. I'd support it. I just it was just weird that I've never. It's kind of a new thing since Ericsson, to be honest.
Yeah, quite possibly. Weird. Quite possibly. And to finish the first half of this podcast, more unwanted news. Of course, on Sunday, video, photos and an audio recording were posted on a women's Instagram account reporting incidents of physical violence involving Mason Greenwood. I'm sure everybody's seen this and perhaps some people have read a bit more and so on. But yeah, a statement from Manchester United yesterday said that Greenwood would not return to training or play matches until further notice. The statement said nothing about a formal suspension, though, and that was then followed by confirmation that the police had arrested Greenwood on suspicion of rape and assault, and police say they're working to establish the full circumstances. But
you just cannot imagine what the world looks like today for the woman in question.
Yep.
And you certainly can't imagine how those images and sound sound clips can make other women who've gone through those experiences, how they make them feel. And there's very little we can legally say, just simply because we have to be legally responsible. But we certainly agree with Laura Williamson's piece in The Athletic. There's always more that can be done on the club level. There's always more that football can do. And it almost pretty much always gets it wrong. Yeah. More on that, I guess, as the days go on.
But you're right to highlight, because it was a very good piece indeed. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Linvoy Primus, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Ah, oh, I love Linvoy.
Linford Grimes.
Grimes.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Football Ramble. It's now time for some emails.
It's Kate, Jules, Jim or Vish, Marcus, Luke or Pete the Tit. Andy might just read up one in show at footballramble.com. Email show at footballramble.com. Sven.
Very relaxing, isn't it, that last bit?
Yeah, very reassuring.
It's like you're at a spa day.
It's like he's just turned up.
Yeah.
Do you think that's the noise that like just the atmosphere makes when he enters a room?
I think so.
Everything's going to be okay / sexy.
Up two banks of four. It's going to be great. So Cameron Speed has been in touch. I can only assume he got to choose his own name when he was 5. So Cameron says...
Or as a bassist for a rock band.
Cameron says, heard your call for the highest foot in football. This is easily the highest foot I've ever seen and may even rival Alisson's. In one of Rudiger Stead's easily forgettable appearances for Melbourne Victory in the A-League, he decided to attempt to clear a corner with a karate kick, despite the ball being about 8 foot in the air and the oncoming 6'2" striker leaping to head the ball. The A-League is a much dimmer place now the human lamppost is gone. And it is, like, the picture is amazing.
Yeah.
The picture that Cameron has sent, we'll put it on socials. It's like the some trick of the angle, it makes it look like his foot is going through the player. It's really something.
I'd like him and Alisson, because obviously that's what we were talking about, the high feet, when Alisson didn't get sent off for Brazil against Ecuador in the World Cup qualifier last week, just to see like both of them go at it, kind of thing, like sort of karate style, because I think your only final blow can be a kick around the head.
Yeah,
I think that would be an excellent matchup.
Indeed. Keith Miller's been in touch as well. He says, all right, lads,
Michael fucking Owen. Yours sincerely, Keith.
Keithy baby. Why you got to be a hater, Keith?
Oh, he's not necessarily hating, is he? He's just swearing a bit.
I hear people do karaoke and rap. It's an absolute, I've said it before, it's
would
lame.
Would you call Five rap?
They probably would.
I'd call it gangster rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently, scares me.
Apparently when they were on Top of the Pops, they would be really annoyed at the producer saying, you're making us look like a boy band. Like, you're really doing
that. What is
that?
This called abs?
Yeah. So, I mean, if anyone's missed this is because Michael Owen was unveiled on The Masked Singer as the character Donuts. Mm. He made it all the way through to the sixth week, and in his final performance before being voted off, he rapped Everybody Get Up by boy band Five, and it was painful, wasn't it?
It was pretty
it's Michael Owen putting on a weirdly American accent to sing, which I think a lot of people do, like as a go-to thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't get anywhere near a note
when
I try
and sing.
You do when
you're singing Chaz and Dave.
You know, well, exactly, right? Yeah, so rabbit,
gotcha!
exactly, but yeah, weird little Mickey Owen
I think it's a bit harsh having a go at him. I mean, he's just, you know...
The man is a charisma vacuum, and I don't know why he's on my telly doing anything.
That makes it funny that he's doing stuff like this.
Yeah. PR's going, you got to do something, Michael, because you suck the air out of the room when you're walking. But you suck the air out of people's front rooms when you're on the telly.
Yeah. I was just happy that he did, you know, got through it without pulling up injured.
On my jam string.
It's a very protective suit, the donut.
Yeah.
It's very
good old cushion.
Tremendous,
there
by the way.
Well, there. Show at footballramble.com for that kind of stuff or Twitter. It's at footballramble. Remember to get your questions in for Pep Talks this Wednesday. It's every Wednesday, but it will be this Wednesday as well. Gentlemen, Frankie Lampard has agreed to become Everton manager.
Yeah.
How about this? I found this quite intriguing, actually. He'd been spotted standing on a street with his agents, and it appeared that he had emerged as the club's preferred choice following a final round of interviews on Friday. That's Frank Lampard on the street. He must be Everton manager.
His feet was on the street.
Was he the guy graffitiing everywhere?
Yeah, out.
Lampard for Chelsea. I think he just saw the blue shirts and thought, that'll do.
That's familiar. If I squint, it's fine.
Yeah, it's interesting with Lampard going to Everton, actually, because... Obviously, he was at Derby, of course, and did pretty well there. And then at Chelsea, it didn't quite work out in the end. He's still fairly untested, I think one could say, even though he's had a big job at Chelsea. But the way it finished at Chelsea, there were suggestions that, you know, tactically the players weren't really responding, because we saw the uptake from Thomas Tuchel. Now, Tuchel, one could argue before the Chelsea job, is one of the most sought-after managers, but certainly now what he's done at Chelsea, you'd say he's one of the most sought-after managers in world football. One could say that. But Lampard, it wasn't only maybe sort of tactically, and it's a difficult job at Chelsea, I understand that, but apparently his man management was in question. Yeah. A lot of the players were frozen out. Rudiger, for example, who's come on leap. Well, I say come on, he was a great player before, and he's proved again. Like,
well, you say that. They were a fairly fragile defence under Lampard, weren't they? And that may well be him. But like Rudiger back then wasn't necessarily seen as in the way that we see him now.
No,
and that may not be his fault. But...
Yeah, I just think he was certainly one player, and there was a few others who just seemed to be a bit frozen out under Lampard.
Right.
And I think with a manager, look at, say, what Guardiola does at Manchester City now. I know Guardiola is one of the finest managers in recent years, but he gets everybody involved. It's a big squad, a lot of, you know, high-profile players in there, a lot of people who got all the quality. To keep them happy is a very, very difficult thing. And again, there were suggestions that Lampard didn't really do that at Chelsea.
He put his arm around you and go, well, let me tell you about a goal on technology.
It 2010
was a goal.
World
it
Cup.
Was a goal.
Yeah. So that's never going to work, that approach, is it? But he did bring through a lot of youth players. The likes of Mason Mount, he helped him on in his career, Reece James as well. So there were some positives. But
is bringing in kind of youth players kind of the biggest job for a Premier League manager, though? It is about managing massive personalities.
But people
and massive
say this about Mauricio
it?
Pochettino, that actually he prefers younger, sort of hungrier players who he can shape
he can
and mould
them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And perhaps Lampard. But with Lampard, he is Frank Lampard. You know, the young players are going to look up to him.
Yeah.
And it's not. You can't blame him that actually, if a young player is thinking, bloody hell, I'm getting told, well, they might listen and respond.
We're seeing
a bit
this
more.
With Gerrard at Villa.
Yeah.
It has a real, real pull, especially to, as you say, those younger players.
Yeah.
I think it would be the same for Lampard at Everton. But yeah, I mean,
it's a big job, this
it
at
is
Everton.
A big job. But also, as well, I mean, Lampard at Chelsea is a pretty unique set of circumstances, isn't it? Because he's coming back as one of the most decorated players ever. You know, they're all time. Premier League top goal scorer, I believe. Like,
all-time goal
scorer. It's a unique set of circumstances, isn't it? And it doesn't really...
The pressure was there. Sure, so I think a lot of people are intrigued. He's clearly been sought after. You know, he turned down, I think it was the Bournemouth job, because he felt he wasn't ready to go back into football. Mm. There was the links to Norwich City, and he felt, no, this is a proper relegation scrap. Yeah. Actually, I don't think I've got that. And that's quite wise if you think, you know...
Yeah, because it would be a disaster, wouldn't it, to get a relegation on his CV.
Exactly.
Now.
And the offers are there. You know, again, with what he did with Derby, and there were moments at Chelsea. Let's not be silly. You know, he managed in the Champions League. I think, actually, Lampard, I'm really intrigued by this, because by the sounds of it, he has gone away. And he's thought, right, how can I improve this? And that's fair. Like anybody in any walk of life, you know, you don't always ace jobs and so on. You know, you go away and think, well, work on the sort of the man manager. Well, how do players respond? So it's very difficult for a player to go. And as you say at Chelsea, very, very, you know, his name is being sung in the crowd. You know, there's banners with his face on and all this kind of stuff. It is a tricky one. So let's see how he gets on. But he's got to hit the ground running, because Everton are in a really poor situation at the moment with the results and where they are in the league. And I know people will say, well, they're not going to go down. Well, yeah, but you've got to make sure of that as well. Yeah. You don't want to be looking over your shoulder. You go on a run of poor results, and Newcastle, we're going to mention in a minute, some of their signings hit the ground running. That's unlikely. Yeah. Let's be honest. You know, but one or two other clubs, if Burnley start hitting form, do you know what I mean? You really don't want to be in a relegation scrap.
No, absolutely. I don't think Everton will go down. Really don't. I think even if they stuck with Benitez, I don't think they would have actually ended up going down. Mm. But like, that's not the ambition of Everton, is it? Yeah. It's not, the ambition isn't like cling on to the Premier League by your fingernails.
Totally.
And that's not the ambition that you have when you bring in a manager like Frank Lampard.
Yeah, so. And Benitez looks like he'd lost the dressing room. He can be quite a distant kind of character. And there were at times, apparently, that some players were saying that about Lampard, which is quite strange, because he often seems quite charismatic and engaging when he's on TV, does some interviews and so on. So the reports suggest that he's gone and worked on certain things and whatnot. So we shall see. It looks like that Donny van der Beek might be his first signing.
And again, that makes you think, is that the pull of a manager like Lampard?
Possibly.
Because that's potentially huge, isn't it? If they'd got, it's obviously ifs and buts are always something to be a little bit wary of. But, you know, had Everton signed him directly from Everton, sorry, from Ajax, everybody would have been like, wow, that's a hell of a coup. And there's no real reason that it shouldn't be viewed as a big deal. It's a, you know.
Well, he's going to be full of beans as well, because he's going to be like,
well-rested.
I just want to run around a lot, quite frankly.
Do you go out of the park?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But apparently Big Duncan Ferguson is thought to be on his way out of the club.
Yeah.
Which would be a great shame. But he's being linked with the Sunderland job. So it would be a shame not to see him involved with Everton, because, you know, he is, you know, just toffee through and through.
He is.
But
you're saying he's soft.
Yeah.
Toffee's not really always soft, is he?
He's a Werther's original.
Yes.
But it would be interesting to see him as a number one, though.
Yeah, I think that's it, isn't it? He's probably got a little bit of a taste for it. And, you know, so many... coaches and assistant managers eventually want to make that jump, so now seems a good time if he does want to do that.
Yeah, indeed. Peter, Newcastle. Hello. Hey, they've been splashing that cash.
He did. Ferguson used to play for them.
He did indeed, but they have been splashing that money, which we all know they have now. How are you feeling? They've confirmed the signing of Lyon midfielder Bruno Guimaraes for €42.1 million plus €8 million add-ons. We mentioned that last week as well. Guimaraes has described himself as a piano carrier.
Well, which is doing a lot of work with the black and whites.
Yeah,
the keys
like
on the piano. There
like
you go.
It's a Brazilian term for someone who does the hard, unseen work.
But I love stuff like that.
But that's also, who was it, Shankly or somebody? You know, you need 10 men to carry the piano and one man to play it or something.
Oh, okay,
right. Basically, you just need someone in to sort of...
Yeah.
But I think he's doing himself a disservice there, because, yes, he has defensive capabilities. You look at some of his stats, you know, in terms of blocks and interceptions and so on, it's pretty good. But also, though, he's, you know, the deep-lying playmaker that Newcastle have been crying out for.
Probably need a little bit more mobility up top, which hopefully they'll solve before the end.
Apparently, his stats, I was looking at this, loves a through ball.
Yeah.
Can you play him and Jonge together? I mean, could this be a disaster? It's Aspria all over again, isn't it?
Really? one too many, yeah.
Oh, man, I didn't think about that. Hopefully he won't step on Jonge's formidable
toes. He'll be 12 points clear of the relegation zone.
Yeah.
By the end.
But then will he sort of turn to Shelby and go, yeah, that's fine. That's, yeah, you know how to pick a pass. But this is how you do the defensive stuff and run
yeah,
to put a
maybe.
Bit of a shift.
It's an education for how old is Shelby? 35 or something now?
35, do me a favour. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's it's a good signing. And it's an interesting signing because it's one of those ones, it reminds me a little bit of Jean-Michel Seri when he went to Fulham. Mm. Now, hopefully it worked out a bit better for Guimaraes. But when he went to Fulham, it was like, whoa, we think he was playing for Nice and he was pulling up trees in France. Yeah. Mm. And it was like, wow, how have Fulham managed to get that? And because he was being, I think he's even been linked with Barcelona and so now. I don't know if it was his agent doing it.
I think
a good
his
job.
Agent was very good.
He was, but he was a player though, and then didn't quite work out. Now he's back playing.
Even
for
you've
Fulham.
Done it. He was a player. Yeah. It just got in your head. Oh, what? He's a footballer. Ooh.
But Guimaraes' reports, though, is very encouraging. So we shall see. They've also agreed a fee for big Dan Byrne, the Brighton defender.
And Matt Target as well.
Yeah.
Matt Ritchie's like, you'll be back. You're always back. You're
what do you think
back.
Of that, though? Big Dan Byrne?
They need all the help they can get in that particular position. So I'm a big fan.
He's from the Northeast as well.
He has,
isn't
he? Yeah.
He's coming home.
So he loses head. Every time. He loses fucking head.
Yeah, but I think Newcastle have done exactly what they needed to do in this window, haven't they? And like with Trippier coming in as well, which seems like months ago now that happened. And Guimaraes is obviously the really shiny, impressive signing. But I think should those players gel, then it's. You should walk out of that.
Even if
that
they
relegation
don't,
though,
for man for man, they improve their position, which is cracking.
Cracking. There we are. Tough weekend for Spurs, though. Their long term target, Adama Traore, has gone to Barcelona on loan with an option to buy for 30 million. He wasn't sold on the idea of playing right wing back for Antonio Conte.
You know, I
think that's not. Conte does like a wing back and he likes a back three. And I mean, I understand Barcelona, although Barcelona obviously. You know, not in the same state that we've seen them in previous years, but still in Barcelona, Nou Camp, and all that kind of stuff. But I thought it was a bit of a shame for Spurs that they didn't get him because he would fit that system.
I think Spurs can do better, really.
Do you?
I don't think if he doesn't want to play in that position, then you know you can't really lament something that was never to be. And I think just with Traore, it's an obvious thing to say, but you come back to it every time. His end product just isn't there, is it? And Spurs need more than that from that position, and I think they will find it.
I think you're right with Traore. I think sometimes we look at the shiny biceps and the speed and something.
I'd take one of his biceps as my bum.
Would you? There you go. That's what we got there at the end. But he doesn't always start for Wolves, and he's I know what you mean.
The flip side of that is that he does cause absolute chaos in a team's defence, and that really helps when you're piling on pressure. And Spurs are very good at that sort of game.
Very true.
But like I say, I think they will. I think they can.
Yeah. Well, their other target, Luis Diaz, the now ex Porto player, was snapped up by Liverpool for an initial fee of £37.5 million. Jurgen Klopp has been targeting him. A little while, and he's a player, like good goal scorer. I think he's the second top goal scorer at the moment in the Portuguese league, 14 so far. Loves an assist, loves a goal. And Liverpool, it's interesting what they're doing because that front three that has been so good, we've said, well, it's not going to last forever. And of course, with Firmino, they have brought in Jota a little bit and rejigged the pack, and it's worked very, very well. But Mane and Salah, and especially with Salah, you know, with the sort of contract stuff and whatnot going on, they need reinforcements at some point. And Luis Diaz looks like a very good player, Colombia international as well. Apparently, when Daniel Levy found out that Liverpool were hijacking the transfer, he threatened to report Liverpool's recruitment staff to John Henry and Mike Gordon, the owners.
I'm going to tell on you.
Liverpool to themselves.
Yeah, well,
essentially.
When Henry and Gordon found out, they were absolutely delighted with the star strategy.
I bet they were.
Well, you're saying that my men have mugged you off.
Yeah.
And I'm meant to be unhappy about this.
They've got us a really good deal
when
we might have lost out to you. So, sorry. And this is... Okay.
It's a very, very strange one. But to top it all off, though, you see, losing out to Barcelona and Liverpool, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, you've got to know sometimes where you are in a pecking order. You know, that can be quantified. But on Saturday, 19-year-old Lewis winger Oli Tanner turned down a move to Spurs from the Isthmian League because he was dissatisfied with the personal terms they offered him.
What on earth?
No, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I mean, he clearly has obviously got a bit of talent and he thinks, well, if Spurs are offering, then someone else will come along.
Sorry,
it's a bold thing.
It's a 0 hours contract. Like, I'd love to know the full story there because that is That is really quite strange.
Funny. Yeah. The word's funny.
That is, the word is funny. Funny, peculiar, and just fucking funny.
Oh, dear. Well, let's finish the show on some remarkable news. This has been bubbling away for some time, but it's official now. Christian Eriksen has signed for Brentford until the end of the season. Pete Donaldson, what a turnaround.
I'm already sort of getting the goosebumps when he, you know, finally dirties his boots. I think it's just, imagine when he comes on. It's going to be fucking great.
I mean, I know that Brentford, they've got a lot of great Danes down there.
Yes, there's a lot of Danish internationals there already, aren't there?
It's lost for words.
Absolutely,
I am, though, because my mind has just gone back to that harrowing moment during the European Championships.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that long ago.
No, it really wasn't.
And to think that that man is going to... And now I know people might say, oh, but it's reckless and people will have varying opinions. But apparently, you know, medically, everyone's like, he's absolutely fine. Like, we cannot find anything. Now, I know in Italy, their rules are a little bit different. And one of them, you know, there's a few reasons. But one of them is you know, he's left there because I don't think it was possible for him to play.
The league, it's against the rules to play with that device. You know, he's a wonderful, wonderful player. Like, he was so good at Tottenham, and he really started to, you know, affect Inter's fortunes as well.
Well, he won the league
to get a tune out of him, because it didn't quite work out at first, did it? But he, you know, he adapted his game, and people started to see what a good player he was. And it's a huge, huge signing for Brentford. This, absolutely massive,
totally, absolutely. Oh, gentlemen, just before we go, strange contract clauses are always an enjoyable thing to talk about, and we mentioned this on Friday. Robin Gosens has joined Inter from Atalanta on loan. It's an 18-month loan, but as soon as Inter score a goal in a competitive match next season, they have to buy him for €25 million.
What's the point?
What on earth?
A good director crying. Oh, no.
Yeah.
The worst thing has happened.
Presumably, if it's he scores.
No.
The report is soon as Inter score a goal.
He's helping. He's on the field and he's helping. I guess he has to be on the field, presumably. To affect it. It's fascinating little clause, that. Wonderful.
I've no idea.
Just seeing what they can get away with, right?
can you just put anything in a contract? Let's give it a go. Oh,
dear me. Well, there we are. That's where we finish today, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. On tomorrow's show, oi, it's us bloody lads again.
Yes!
Oi, oi!
Come on. More wang pants chat, please.
There we are. Until tomorrow.
Go on.
Your wee sounded like Pac-Man dying just then.
My wee?
Yeah, your wheeze.
Oh, my wheeze. I was going to say, how dare you accuse me of that in the studio.
Interesting.
There we are. Thank you very much, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Petey.
Ta-ta.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you all tomorrow.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.